Last spring, I found myself sitting on a plane from Berlin to Birmingham with a small olive-green book in my rucksack. From time to time, I opened the rucksack and the brown padded envelope in which the book was kept just to reassure myself that it was still there. After more than 70 years, it was going to be returned to its family, to a grandchild of a man who had once owned it, a man who had carefully glued his ex libris to a flyleaf and written his name on the title page, Richard Kobrak. At the end of 1944, he was deported with his wife to the gas chambers on one of the last trains to Auschwitz. The little book in my rucksack is not particularly valuable. In a secondhand bookshop in Berlin, it would probably not cost more than a few euros. And yet, in the few days that I had been the guardian of the book, I have been plagued by what almost amounts to panic at the thought of it suddenly going missing. I have had anguished fantasies about forgetting my rucksack in a taxi or having it stolen. The value of the book is not monetary, but emotional, and it is irreplaceable to those who grew up without their grandfather. The little olive-green book holds enormous value because it is the only remaining possession of Richard Kobrak, a book from a man's library. Tragically, it is only one of millions still waiting to be found, millions of forgotten books from millions of lost lives. For more than half a century, they have been ignored and rendered mute. Those who were aware of their origins often tried to erase the memory of their owners, tearing out any pages with labels, crossing out personal dedications, and falsifying library catalogs in which gifts from the Gestapo or the Nazi Party were substituted by mentions of anonymous donors. But many have survived, perhaps because the plunder was far too widespread, and there was no great desire to look into the history of these remnants. That is literally from the opening of The Book Thieves, the Nazi looting of Europe's libraries and the race to return a literary inheritance by Anders Rydell. The story in these pages is indeed ongoing, though it started long ago in the 1930s of Germany. Its impact continues down through today. As our author notes a little bit later in his introduction, the Nazi theft of artworks, their publicly lauded and perhaps worst of all state-sponsored book-burning celebrations, their blacklisting of authors with whom they took umbrage, and outright censorship of authors and publishers once they came to power, has come to symbolize the cultural degradation of the 1930s and the 1940s throughout Europe. But the story of book theft and the curbing of authors' work is even more telling. And so The Book Thieves tells the story of widespread public support in 1930s Germany, especially for these anti-intellectual efforts. Often book burnings and outright state-sponsored book thefts led by university student groups, by teachers, and I'm sad to say even by librarians, whose fervor to support the Nazi Party, or at least to cleanse the German Volk of outside cultural influences, gave the many book burnings and library thefts, both private and public, more than a state-sponsored flavor. These, our author tells us, were the actions of the academics in training and the trainers themselves. We read of the research libraries developed for years from these purloined books by such significant Nazi leaders as Heinrich Himmler, head of the SS and book collector, and headlined by chapters fittingly and with sadness aptly titled The Mass Grave as a Paper Mill, Jewish Studies Without Jews, A Wagon of Shoes. And it is noted as well that this massive planned book theft was aimed at all supposed enemies of the Nazi state, with chapters titled The Hunt for the Secrets of the Freemasons and Lenin Worked Here. These are chapters that take us into the destruction of libraries long developed by the Worldwide Secret Society of Freemasons, the newer but perhaps more critical society as it is libraries of the Communist Party in Germany. And they are the tragedy of institutional libraries and personal private libraries, as we heard as our book first opens. Yet Book Thieves is so much more than the travesties that headlined the 1930s and 40s across Europe. It's as much a catalog of horrible acts and horrible philosophies supporting them as it is a book about heroics. and heroes. So many of these purloined books were the last vestiges of civilization, vestiges that people took with them to the ghettos and even into the death camps, harboring the hope, perhaps, that their material goods, their communities, could be torn away from them. But this collection of stories, this sharing of knowledge, this book of dreams that they still held in their hands could give them their internal sense of humanity, even at the worst point in their lives. As well, here are two stories of Germans, of Poles, of Russians, of Italians, of Frenchmen, of heroic people who stepped up to the challenges and openly refused to take part in the wholesale destruction of human culture. Stories of people who buried books deep into the bowels of their homes, even their yards. And featured as well are the men and women of today, men and women who were working together to piece together the tragic and heroic histories of the books that are still being discovered and still being recognized. Some of them, I'm glad to say, librarians. These tales of horror and of heroism conclude with the bittersweet story titled A Book Finds Its Way Home, where that book that we heard about in our opening is finally returned to the family from which it had originally been stolen. A final note on the book, Swedish author and writer Anders Rydell, smoothly translated, by the way, by Henning Koch, has written not only a page-turning nonfiction book torn from the pages of World War II Europe, he has written it in a compelling, most readable manner. Remote as it could be from a dry facts-only book this could have been, The Book Thieves could be as compelling a film, or maybe even a TV series, as the story of the Allied troops' recapture of Nazi-stolen art was, The Monuments Men. This could be another such hit, if Hollywood so decides. With our community's now annual Holocaust Remembrance series coming up in April, this book is perhaps a good reminder that the international experience of totalitarian and authoritarian regimes that attempt to take over and control their nation's cultural heritage is an ongoing danger. Those books the Nazis spent so much time and effort to steal and then repurpose to their own goals are still being discovered and returned to their rightful owners. It's a true life story with repercussions and ongoing work that continues to this day. As another reviewer wrote, quote, during this work, the author personally returns a book to the granddaughter of a man to whom it once belonged. There is something so touching about this event and of the author's knowledge that the small volume he carries from one country to another is so precious. I am sure that the grandfather would have liked to have had something so personal to him in the hands of his relative, and that this object, and a book is an object like no other, will help his granddaughter feel close to him. This is really a wonderful read, another reviewer concludes, and I agree, exploring all of the lost books and the lost lives that still haunt the present. To give the author our last word, as is so fitting in The Book Thieves, he writes, even the Nazis realized that if there was something that gave more power than merely destroying the word, it was owning and controlling it. There was a power in books. Words could act as weapons, resounding long after the rumbling of artillery had stopped. They are weapons not only as propaganda, but also in the form of memories. Whoever owns the word has the power to not only interpret it, but also to write history. And we're writing that history today. The Book Thieves, The Nazi Looting of Europe's Libraries and the Race to Return a Literary Inheritance by Anders Rydell. It's a fantastic read about an important topic, both from the past and into today. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.